Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 310, Dare I Say Based? Sunday, April 30th, 2023. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can also find the most pertinent links through my profile on Instagram. Today's episode features the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, yarn lover at large, taproot make nine, and off the shelf. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is a dreary, rainy morning here in Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania. We've had a rainy weekend, and it's bringing lots of much-needed moisture to growing plants, annuals, perennials. Hopefully, it will help to ward off any summer heat, and we can avoid that terrible drought condition that we had last summer. I have been doing quite a bit of gardening, keeping my eye on the forecast and knowing that there was a lot of rain coming this weekend. So I got a lot done, and this weekend I've been really enjoying cozying up and crafting. I've been completing projects and beginning new ones, and I'm really pleased to be here with you this morning to share my crafting with you. I hope you are well. I am so thankful for all of the positive energy that's been coming my way in the form of notes, cards, social media messages, little packages and presents, your amazing contributions to the Clean Fleece Project, which is almost fully funded. The Clean Fleece Project, which is a project to create a scouring facility in the Hudson Valley, is nearly fully funded. They only have about $2,000 to go. So anything you can do to make a contribution or share the information would be great. They also have a call out for household items that you may wish to donate. If you're doing some clean out and there are some things you don't need, they may be able to use them down at the facility. So if you're a Hudson Valley resident, I encourage you to follow this project and take a look at some of their posts and see how you can chip in. This weekend, it's the Washington County Farm and Fiber Tour. I know that the Battenkill Fiber Mill is getting a lot of visitors, and so are farms in the area. If you were able to attend, I hope you are having a great time. For my own part, that was a little bit much of an excursion for me this weekend. However, I do have a bus ticket to Maryland Sheep and Wool, and I am hoping to go. I've been working to keep my health strong and get a lot of rest. I am currently undergoing chemotherapy for breast cancer that has metastasized to my liver and bone. I have a really great care team, as well as amazing support from family, friends, colleagues, and listeners as well. And I've had my ups and downs for sure, but hopefully things at this point are evening out a little bit with some more regularized and normalized highs and lows of getting chemo. I am continuing to work as I receive this treatment and try to keep all of my activities as much in the normal range as possible. And you may or may not believe this, but all of the positive energy coming my way is truly helping me to keep my balance, keep thinking positively and move in a forward direction, even though there are times when things seem quite bleak. So I want to thank you all so much. I admire the fiber arts community and all of the friends and acquaintances that I've made in this community really are bringing me strength. Thank you. The back porch. I've completed an accessory project called Bandit. It's a design by Jamie Thomas. She goes by Imagine Knit Designs on Ravelry. And this pattern is for a very simple warm weather accessory. It's recommended to be knit with linen yarn. I used my hand spun. And the construction is super, super simple. It's a long, wide scarf that narrows slightly and then forms itself into a tube so that what you end up with is a shrug that has one sleeve and a long sash that wraps around your shoulders and can be attached with a button or a shawl pin or some other kind of decorative object right on the shoulder. Once you make this item, you can put the sleeve on your right arm. You can put the sleeve on your left arm. You could even do some interesting styling where you pull one end through the sleeve and make a kind of cowl or almost like a necktie with it. So it's super versatile, very easy and fun. And I chose to use my handspun for this project because I made some super crazy handspun out of singles I was spinning during the pandemic as I was on endless, endless Zoom calls and needed to keep my hands busy. I just spun turtle after turtle on my Turkish spindle of all different kinds of colors and textures. And I had this gigantic collection of little balls of very fine yarn. And then I plied them together in quite a haphazard fashion to make this super crazy two-ply, which is like anywhere from a fingering to a sport or maybe even sometimes a DK, depending. It's difficult to knit a garment with yarn like this because odd things can happen with striping or if you're trying to match the arms of something. So I was on the lookout for something along the lines of an accessory, but didn't really want to have a shawl. And I had this bandit in my queue for quite a while and had a great deal of fun knitting it. First of all, handspun is so much fun to knit. I haven't said that on this podcast for a while, but whenever I get out my own handspun and knit with it, I usually have a bout of more spinning because I find that the texture and the lightness and the softness of it and the surprise of the different blips of color so wonderful to work with that I want to just spin more. And I'll talk about that a little bit later in this episode. But I was able to use, I guess, about, 600 to 700 yards of my handspun for this project. I knit a scarf that was about 17 or 18 inches wide by 45 inches long. And then I did some decreases and tapered down to knitting in the round. And the sleeve could be any length. I made it just past the elbow with a little bit of ribbing at the end and finished with a tubular bind off. One regret I have about my work on this project is that I didn't think a little more carefully about how to keep the edges of stockinette knitting from curling under. I knit this at a pretty loose gauge on a US size 7 or 8 needle, and then I went down slightly to a 4 or a 5 for the sleeve. So the curling isn't extreme, but I feel like I could have taken some measures to do an I-cord edge or maybe some ribbing or something on the edge that would keep the whole thing from curling a lot. So far, I've only steam blocked this project. I haven't wet blocked it. That could help, but I've been wearing it anyway, and I wore it out to local yarn store day, and my friend Dee took some photos of me that I've included in the show notes for this episode, and I will also be posting these pics on Ravelry on my finished project page. I highly recommend this bandit design. It's easy, it's great travel, car, or just mindless knitting. It could be wonderful for hand spun, but also if you have some linen or a linen blend yarn on hand, it might be a great way to use that up. And there are also such beautiful shawl pins and fasteners out there. I know lots of knitters have some of these in their collection. It's a great, great way to show off one of these. And I see any kind of shrug or wrap like this just to be ideal for sticking in your bag during the summer months when you never know when you might hit some icy cold air conditioning and just want that extra layer. Once again, that pattern is Bandit by Jamie Thomas. On the front porch is a knitting pattern called Geometry by Christina Gerlanda. She's known as Mini Me Knit Design. I was recommended this pattern by Mary Beth, who's knit at least one of them. And I'm going to be using yarn from Green Mountain Spinnery. I have several skeins of Cotton Comfort in the denim colorway. And Mary Beth advised me that this would be a good use. She also said that this pattern, as written, is extremely cropped, so I will be careful to add several inches of length as I knit the front and back pieces so that I end up with something that I can layer pretty well. I have a long torso, so even cropped things that are meant to be cropped, I tend to lengthen a little bit. The construction on this geometry pattern is really ingenious. It's the kind of thing that, even though I've read over the pattern a couple of times, I don't exactly get how it all comes together. But what I do know is that length cannot be added as you go. It needs to be added to the two initial front and back pieces that you knit. So armed with that information, I will likely be starting this pattern sometime in early May and hopefully having a finish that I can incorporate into my wardrobe before the end of Me Made May. I do plan to participate. I'm not the most reliable person at the moment, so I don't want to commit to photos every day or something like that. But for several years now, I have been wearing something that I made, I would say 90 to 95% of the time. So wearing things that I've made during the month of May will not be a stretch. What will be the difficult part is taking photos and posting them to social media. So I will try to do that. I have some things that I'm excited to show off and get some pictures of, and I look forward to seeing all of your photos too. There's a great podcast, Check Your Thread, which has an episode about Me Made May and what it's all about. The point that folks tend to make the most often is, I think, the most important thing to say about Me Made May is that it's not a time to pressure yourself to finish new things so that you can wear them. It's really a time to celebrate things that you have already made. Maybe you've mended. Maybe you've resuscitated them in some way. Maybe you have one or two pieces that you're really, really proud of, and you can use the month of May to think about how to style them in different ways. So any kind of participation is awesome participation, and I am looking forward to the inspiration that will be coming our way during this month. Yarn lover at large. Yesterday, Saturday, the 29th of April, was local yarn shop day, and I was so fortunate to be able to take a little trip over to Hope's Favorite Things, which is now housed in a schoolhouse in nearby Richmond, Pennsylvania. And I went with my friend Dee, who was so lovely and drove us there. And we just spent a couple hours in the afternoon sitting, talking, looking through issues of Taproot, doing some spinning, and I made two purchases. One is a small Jalagan. This is a very sturdy, very specific type of conical design Scottish spindle. I have a Jalagan, and this one that I purchased yesterday is a little bit lighter weight, so it can spin a little bit more fine of a gauge. It was made hand-turned by Erica Keller, and I picked up some really cool fiber to spin on the Jalagan and also my other spindles. Hope was doing bats she was calling American Graffiti, and they have just all kinds of colors, little hand-dyed neps, some stellina, some locks. There's all kinds of things going on there. And because I have been interested again in picking up some hand spinning and using it as a part of a meditative practice, which I have done many times in the past, it kind of ebbs and flows, and I leave it behind and I get back into it. But I've really been enjoying the spinning again. So I'll be working on spinning this bat. And then I also remembered how much I enjoy making my own Rolags. So I think maybe later on today or sometime this week, I will get out some of the different fiber that I have and some of the add-ins that I have and create a bunch of Rolags that will be very handy for spinning. I have expensive, gorgeous Jenkins Turkish spindles, and I do love spinning on them. They are some of my favorite possessions. But I tend to spin on sturdier things that I don't worry about breaking, like a Jalagan, like a 3D printed Turkish spindle from Turtle Made. And these are very easy to tote around with me. So I think I'll be popping some Rolags into the storage containers where I have these very sturdy spindles and spending spring and summer doing some more spinning of singles, and then work maybe at the end of the summer, maybe during Tour de Fleece, I'll work toward plying some of those singles together into yet another batch of crazy two-ply. Taproot Make 9. Over the spring break, I did bake the mushroom and leek tart from the Imagine issue of Taproot magazine. That's issue 51. I took it to a little crafting get together and it went over very well. It's easy and elegant, so I'll definitely be keeping that recipe in my back pocket for anything that requires taking a nice, small, light dish along. I think it's also great as an appetizer or something that can be an accompaniment to a charcuterie platter or something like that. More recently, I have moved on to one of the crafting projects in my Taproot Make 9, which is the Moonshadow Table Runner. This is from issue 44, the Emerge issue, and it's a design by Laura Hopper for a table runner that includes appliqué phases of the moon. There are 5 distinct motifs. There are instructions for the appliqué, the quilting, and the binding of the project. I don't have a lot of experience with quilting, so I do like to take kind of baby steps with small projects. My sister Jessica visited me recently, and we took a little trip to Pocono Sew & Vac, which is one of 2 local fabric stores that I have. They also sell lots of sewing machines and quilting machines there. I went with the photographs from Taproot magazine and sort of envisioned something with gold moons on a midnight blue background. And as we walked around the shop, that's initially what I was pulling out. And then we took all of our selections and ideas back over to this one part of the store, and I started to play around a little bit more with the colors. Jessica was an important, she had important input in this regard because she does a ton of quilting and she can be really experimental with color. So when I started backing away from the midnight blue background and I saw this really deep plum color, that's really not at all like the night sky, but I loved the way it played with the gold. And then I found a brown fabric that had some mint contrast color in it. These things looked initially like they wouldn't go together, but then, you know, she gave me the nod that this was something that was really going to work. And I came away super pleased with my purchases. All of the fabric that I bought was in the 100% cotton fabric made in Japan from a Moda line. And it sort of looks cross-hatched or stained. It has a really interesting look to it. And I like the way all 3 fabrics have the same kind of aesthetic. And then I bought a pretty thick 100% cotton quilt batting. Right now, I'm working on doing the applique portion, affixing these moon phase motifs to the front-facing fabric. Some of them are easy, but the crescent moons are incredibly difficult to get that point to be just right. So I was thinking about it this morning, and I was thinking about how difficult it was going to be to get those points just right. There wasn't any particular advice in the directions for the project, but I remembered something that my mom often would say when we hit a rough spot with a sewing project. She would raise her eyebrows and say, "Dare I say baste?" And it's true, basting fabric, especially in a fiddly part, really does save time in the long run, because if you end up trying to machine stitch it or even hand stitch it and you can't control tiny bits of fabric, it can get very frustrating. And then you can make your fabric harder and harder to deal with by having to pick it out a couple of times. So I looked up some basting and applique techniques, and then I took a little bit of time this morning to hand baste the points. There are 4 points on 2 crescent moons. And I think this is going to result in a much easier process when it comes to stitching these motifs down to the fabric. So with Jessica helping me out with my fabric color choices, with my mom's words echoing in my head, and with these incredibly useful tiny applique pins that are just so perfect for pinning your motifs down to your front-facing fabric and then not getting your thread caught up on them every time you stitch because they're not very long. Those were a gift from my sister Laura. I feel like my family is with me as I work on this moonshadow table runner. And it's going slowly, of course, but I don't really want it to go quickly. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I'm eager to create something that will be a really nice spring and summer centerpiece for my dining table. Do you have a taproot make 9 make along? It's been a really nice process to pick out certain projects for a year of making and then to kind of look forward to them over the course of the year. I also find that I love to look through back issues of Taproot magazine because sometimes things that don't initially hit me as interesting, useful, or fun projects will strike me when I'm flipping back through and I either have more experience, a different outlook, or it's a different season. And I'm always adding to my list of things that I want to make from Taproot magazine. Off the shelf. Today I'm going to share a poem with you that was sent along to me by Joanna Spring. She sent a lovely package and she has been sending some uplifting messages and texts. And one of them was this poem, Dandelion by Ted Kooser. That is a new to me poem and I think perfect for this time of year. So I'd love to share it with you. Dandelion. The first of a year's abundance of dandelions is this single kernel of bright yellow dropped on our path by the sun. Sensing that we might need some marker to help us find our way through life, to find a path over the snow-flattened grass that was blade by blade unbending into green on a morning in early April. This happening just at the moment I thought we were lost and I'd stopped to look around, hoping to see something I recognized. And there it was, a commonplace dandelion right at my feet, the first to bloom, especially yellow, as if pleased to have been the one chosen from all the others to show us the way. Thank you so much for listening. I wish you a wonderful week full of time for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.